Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge with your latest Manchester United news. Get involved. We've got Ben Jacobs at 1:30 also talking about the secret transfer. All the details. Don't miss that at 1:30. We'll be talking about secret talks for Luis Enrique, Thomas Tuchel. Very good article by Simon Stone breaking down why Man United have to get this managerial stuff right and why secret talks are going to be really important. Can United keep secret secret? Probably not. Also, there's more on Mainoo. There's more on the midfield target in the summer. Interesting stats around Spurs and some stuff from the training ground, which I would describe as spin, but others might just get very excited about it. So lots to get into on the show. But you may notice there's a book missing there. And that book is this book. And today is February the 6th. It's the anniversary of the Munich tragedy, the most significant date in this club we love's history. It's always a sad day for many of us. It's always a poignant day, but it's also a day of learning for some who don't actually have the knowledge or the learning around what that story is for Manchester United. And look, there's no problem with that. Go and learn it. That's what today is all about. It's an anniversary of a tragedy that is the foundation of this great football club. This book to me means very much because my granddad gave it to me. My granddad was obsessed. And he's no longer with us, sadly, but was obsessed with the Busby Babes as a young man. He witnessed what they did in the mid-50s to 1958. Fantastic side that won the league, that was built by Sir Matt Busby on bringing in young players from all over the country. Duncan Edwards was from Dudley. And look, as a young kid in the mid-80s who didn't know much about football, my education was Manchester United Football Club. My education was people like Duncan Edwards. I was fortunate to get that. Not many people do. VHS tapes, stories, books. It was a unique upbringing in football for somebody, a young kid from Nottingham, but one I'll always be grateful for because it led me to this football club and it told me the story of the greatest football club. And it introduced me to the Busby Babes and people like Duncan Edwards. And I've been to his grave in Dudley and my kids know about it. I'm very big about it. That's why I have the book on the shelf all the time from the very first shows because it fundamentally is why I support Manchester United. It comes from my granddad and his love for Duncan Edwards and the Busby Babes. So if you don't know what it's all about, today is the day to go and learn it. If you do know what it's about, today is the day to remember what this football club is. And it does make me angry, to be honest with you, at times when I see what the Glazers have done to this football club, because I think some people say, stop moaning, this, that and the other. Why are you moaning? They've absolutely destroyed the fabric of what Manchester United is. This is what Manchester United is. The Busby Babes, Sir Matt Busby, Sir Alex Ferguson, what we've built from Manchester United. Manchester United is passion. Manchester United is a story. Manchester United is a religion to many people. And I know that offends some people, but football is that thing at the weekend that you look forward to. It's the thing you talk about. It's the thing you think about. And they've brandified something that was never about that. We were never about commerciality. We were never a business. Manchester United, people have died playing for Manchester United. Like, Manchester United means so much. And when people say you're moaning, the reason I moan and the reason some people moan is because we've lost what this club is. The Glazers probably wake up this morning and haven't got a fucking clue what it's really all about today. And this is what being Manchester United fans is all about. It's about today. This is the thing that binds us. This is the thing that defines us. This is the thing that we are. And all those people who go, stop moaning, or oh, it doesn't matter. What the Glazers have done to this football club and Sir Jim Radcliffe by proxy is a disgrace. So it's never going to be moaning to remember what this club's all about. But today is about remembering these legends of our football club and what happened in 1958. So very important that we start the show with that and never forget. And if you don't know the story, go and find the story because Manchester United is the greatest football story in football. And that's why we love it. So rest in peace to our legends. And of course, those that are no longer with us, like Sir Bobby, who didn't pass away that tragedy in 1958, but is no longer with us as well. But they're always with us. They're always the message. That's the way I look at them now. They're always the message of what Manchester United is. When we forget, when we start thinking about brand deals, when we start thinking about debt, when we start thinking about Champions League qualification, that's what Manchester United is. Right, presently Dorgu's better than Semenyu, minus injury, says Amit. Always Amit to bring us back to reality, isn't it? Okay, lots to get into on the show this morning. Right, let's start off about these secret manager talks. Okay, so there's a little bit of spin coming out of the club this morning, unfortunately. However, Amit says, Glazers will fade away, but United are immortal. They're not going to fade away, though, are they? They're not going to go anywhere. They've got their grips into something that actually matters, and they dictate it. I hope one day we can remove them. I'll certainly do my part as much as I think you will. I hope we can. I think growing communities like this will be the way forward, but we need somebody with the money. Exactly. Okay, let's start off. So, look, first things first. There was something yesterday that came out from Indy Kaler about secret talks with Luis Enrique. I mean, apart from David Ornstein saying they're right about Belabor, have they been right about anything else in the last 10 years? I mean, look, I don't take it seriously at all, but I was laughing about it last night about these secret talks with Luis Enrique, and I thought, well, there's their latest guess. However, in fairness, if Man United aren't holding secret talks with Luis Enrique, then something really has gone wrong. The article I want to talk about is Simon Stones, who obviously you should know is a journalist for the BBC, a very credible journalist, not really around transfers, but certainly around, well-sourced around Manchester United. Now, what he's saying in his article is that there's a couple of things that are really important about Manchester United, and it feeds into Luis Enrique as well. So basically saying that around international managers, so Thomas Tuchel with England, Pochettino with the US, Ancelotti with Brazil, and Nagelsmann with Germany, arguably the four best coaches we can go for apart from Enrique. I mean, if we're being real, would you not put those four people in your top five? Tuchel would be in my top five. Ancelotti would be in my top three. Nagelsmann would be in my top five. And Pochettino, actually, I don't think he's a bad shout. I wouldn't put him in my top three, but I don't think he's a bad shout. I think he's got a hell of a lot of experience. He knows the Premier League. He does play decent football. I'd be pushing for Pochettino over an Iriola or a Glasner. So four of the managers we could look at are all in the World Cup. And basically what Simon Stone is saying is that if you go for a manager that is at a international team, it can cause a lot of problems. I remember specifically, well, the quote is this: even if there are private conversations between senior club representatives and a coach at a major country, there is no way that can become a formal agreement before the World Cup. If it came out, it would balloon in the face of whichever coach it was. It would be massively destabilizing, and it's just not worth it. You could have discreet meetings. They happen all the time in football, but it would be much more beneficial to do groundwork. And there are a few issues anyway. If they agreed privately with someone at the end of April, what would happen if Michael Carrick did a fantastic job till the end of May? And depending on how the World Cup went, good or bad, you might think that might impact on the players, on the manager's reputation. So Man United have to let it breathe a little bit. So look, I think that's quite an interesting point to make. We'll talk about Enrique in a moment, but I think that you could describe it as a bit of a mess. You could describe it as a positive. Look, I want to actually, one question I did want to ask, and I forgot to do it because obviously I wanted to talk about the Busby Babes and what today is, but who would you take as manager, Tuchel or Enrique? I just want to get a little bit of a grasp of where we're at. But look, essentially what the article says is that Manchester United could hold talks with Thomas Tuchel this weekend. He's got not got a lot to do. The international break's not till March and the World Cup's not till the summer. So Man United could be in talks with Thomas Tuchel this weekend, next weekend, last weekend, a month ago when they sacked Amrin. And they could have that conversation and Tuchel could say, yeah, I'm done with international football. I'll take the job in July. Let's start thinking about who we're going to buy. Let's start thinking about who we're going to sell. Let's start strategizing what's going to happen. You could definitely do that. And in many ways, it would be a very good thing to do. However, if it gets out, and this is what the article says, if it gets out, it becomes a massive, massive issue. I think it was Lopetegui. Was it Lopetegui who was the Spanish coach and he was going to take the Real Madrid job and they literally sacked him about a week before the World Cup or the Euros? I can't remember what it was. So it's massively destabilising. I remember Sir Bobby Robson doing it in Italia 90 and he was called a traitor for doing it. So it you cannot announce that you're going to be the Man United manager before you've managed in the World Cup, whether you're Pochettino at US or Nagelsmann at Germany, and certainly not if you're an England manager or a Brazil manager. Can you imagine England fans knowing that Tuchel is going to be the Man United manager, or Brazil fans knowing that Ancelotti's leaving them to go to Man United? You can't do it. So does that rule out going for an international coach? And if so, United have fucked up, because you can't rule people out. You can't. The whole point of this process is you can't rule Carrick out, you can't rule Enrique out, you can't rule Iriola out, and you can't rule any international. The whole point is to keep it wide open, not rule people out. But I do think that, are we ruling out international coaches if we can't even talk to them until the tournament's over, which could be mid-July, with the season starting in mid-August? How do you even do that? How do you buy players knowing you might buy Belaba and Tuchel could come in and go, what? So are we therefore starting to walk towards something that's a little bit concerning, that, oh yeah, we're going to run a really thorough managerial candidate process? But you're not, are you? Because you can't actually go for half of the decent managers that fans would want. So how difficult is that? And I think it's a good point. I also think that the article goes on to say that, look, Man United can't rush into anything. I think that's exactly what we need to do. Not in the sense that we need to appoint a new manager, but we've got to have a bloody good idea who we want. Now, that doesn't need to be public knowledge, but look, I don't believe we've held secret talks with Luis Enrique, but if the board say they want Luis Enrique, then you've got to be now linking in with Luis Enrique. It's the same if you want Elliot Anderson. You can't wait till he comes back from the World Cup and go, Elliot, we're at Heathrow, Elliot, Man United. And he's like, I've been talking to Man City for months, do one. So we have to put the groundwork in, and we have to know what we want. And that groundwork could be as simple as, Thomas Tuchel, we really want you. Let's leave it at that. Are you open to us? Wink, wink, nod, nod. Yes. And then at least you know. Luis Enrique, let's have some talks. Are you going to sign a new contract at PSG, or are you interested in Man United? I'm interested in Man United. Right, let's have some talks. We have to be doing that from today. We can't just wait till the end of the season and see if Carrick can drive the bus. Because the problem with Carrick, and many people agree with me and many people don't, but that's life. The problem with Carrick is, even if he does win most of the games until the end of the season, you don't know how he's going to react to next season with double the games. You don't know how he's going to react to a team that he's going to have to tell them that he's selling players. You don't know how he's going to have to react to having a transfer budget. So there's too many question marks about Michael Carrick, even if he wins loads and loads of games. And I'm saying if he wins loads and loads of games, there's a case he should get the job. Of course there is, but there's a lot of uncertainties. And who is he upsetting at the moment? Is there a player in that squad that he's upsetting? No. He hasn't got a squad big enough to upset anybody. Even Cunha on the bench isn't happening anymore because Dorgu's injured. Sesko's a young player. He's happy to work. Xerxes running around with a smile on his face. He's not upsetting anybody, is he? But in the summer, he will have to upset people. So all I'm saying is United can't wait and see. Wait and see is what they did with Amrim, and they stumble into things. They've got to have a strategic plan, and I'd be invigorated. I'd be excited. If I was Jason Wilcox or Omar Berada or Sir Jim Radcliffe, I'd be holding meetings for the last month. I'd be holding meetings and I'd be going, who do we want? Who is it we actually want as manager? Let none of this sit around bollocks. Jason, you're getting right on my tits, Jason. All you want to do is sit around and wait. You're a bloody prat, Jason. You're getting on my fucking nerves. I think I broke character there. But no, seriously, if I was Sir Jim Radcliffe, I'd be invigorated and excited. I'd be holding meetings and I'd be like, who do we want? Who's our top three? Who are the top three managers we want? And then if we agree on Enrique, Ancelotti and Tuchel, right, let's see, are any of them possible? Well, Enrique's going to sign a new contract at PSG. Ancelotti's going to stay at Brazil. Okay, so they're off the table. So we've got Tuchel. We can't just have Tuchel. Who else do we want? Tuchel, number one. Who else are we going for? Obviously, let's keep Carrick in this situation. Let's keep that ongoing. We'll see how it goes. You know, obviously, we'll keep him in the equation. But who do we want? And then you start feeling it out. You don't just sit there and go, that would be the same mistake that Ed Wood would make. That would be the same mistake the Glazers made when they sacked Mourinho. We're going to run a thorough managerial candidate process in the summer. Oh, Ollie's done well. Let's give him the job. We can't do that again. We've got to do it properly. So look, hopefully we are holding secret talks, But I do think the interesting thing from the Simon Stone article is, are we even going to go for a manager that's managing in the World Cup? Because keeping that quiet, you know, these journalists want to know. They want to know. The good thing is, I think when Thomas Tuchel was being interviewed around the time that Ten Hag was going to get sacked, it was in the interest of Tuchel and his agents to leak it out. It's not in their interest for this to be leaked out at all. And it's not in Man United's interest to leak it out at all. So maybe those secret talks can happen. Maybe they can. Tillack says, if Carrick gets his top four, he will lead us. Well, look, I like Michael Carrick. I actually saw a little, I don't know what they call him, reel last night. And it was of Christian Bale in Batman when he says that line, when everything's been broken down, what are you going to do? And he's there and he says, we're going to build it again. And it was Michael Carrick when he walks into Manchester United. I was like, fucking get in. Let's have some of that. You know, I don't make any apologies for wanting Solskjaer. And I don't make any apologies for getting excited about Michael Carrick. And I don't take the piss out of people who do. It's pure nostalgia. It's pure fantasy. And it's pure romance. And it's very easy to jump into that swimming pool of Carrick's going to rebuild Man United. Nobody's going to rebuild Man United, by the way. There is no way back with this ownership. So that's one thing in reality. Get out the pool and get your towel. And secondly, I am not at that point now, and I'll tell you when I am, where I would go give Michael Carrick the job. And I think we'll win out. I think we'll win tomorrow. But I'm just not at that point. I'm scared of giving Michael Carrick the job. I like Michael Carrick. He's one of my favourite players of the last 20 years. So underrated. And I'd love it if he could be successful as a Manchester United manager. I mean, I think he lacks a bit of charisma in interviews, if we're being completely honest. But, you know, you can't have everything. But I'd love him to do well. I'd love him to get... I don't think I'd love him to get the job. If they give him the job, I'd love him to go... to do well. I am not going to say I'd love him to get the job, though. I don't really want that to happen. I think in life, I've learnt in my 40s that over the most majority of my life, you get what you pay for. And most of the time, quality will outdo a punt. It will, in all areas of life. Like if somebody says, do you want this steak or do you want the mystery steak? If you go for the quality steak, it will be better. Yeah? It's just life. So I don't want to, at the moment, commit to Michael Carrick getting the job. And even if he gets the job, this process we've just been speaking about has to happen. You can't get to the end of the season and say Carrick got his Champions League football, so there's the contract. If we don't interview people and actually do a proper process, we're morons. Like, you can't just go, oh, Michael's done really well, you get the job. There's a huge leap of faith with Carrick. As an interim coach, it's not the same as... I mean, look, I read something yesterday. Carrick lets them go home at 1 o'clock. He's reduced the training. These players are weak, mentally weak. Carrick's very, very clever to do this. Keep them on side, keep them happy. They're spoiled, basically. Let them do... Let's not train them as hard. Let them go home when it's still light. And look what happens. They in the short term, they get your results. Carrick's very intelligent. He's basically doing what the players want. He's playing the system they want. He's letting them train less. He's keeping them happy to get results. That's not sustainable. At some point, they'll fuck up. And you'll have to get hard on them. And then they'll fuck up even more. So what the thing with Carrick would be, what's he going to do when it goes wrong? What's the future plan? Because this is very short term. It's very, very short term. You're going to play two games a week next season. So I think there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot of time for us to learn. And I think he's doing a great job at the moment, but I think we absolutely have to, no matter what, not just go, there's the contract. Let Rio Fairyland start talking about that. Let's live in reality. Let's have secret talks with Enrique, see what he's about. Let's have chats with De Zerbi. Let's have chats with Areola. Let's have chats with Tuchel. Let's have chats with Nagelsmann. Let's talk to as many managers that want to talk to us. And let's go. For once, let's take best in class. Because Jason Wilcox, as a director of football, is Michael Carrick. Potential. We're meant to be going for best in class. Everything we do seems to be potential. Oh, there's another 17-year-old from South America who's going to be the next Caicedo. Oh, we've loaned him off to Lausanne. You know, this future planning bullshit. Most of our success in recent times has come from best in class. Cunha, Mbeumo. These signings have made a huge difference to us. Huge difference to us. I don't know, things have changed. But anyway, as I said, let's move on. But for me, the most absolutely essential thing is that when the season closes down, we don't just go, there you go, Michael, there's your contract. We go, go and have a holiday, Michael. We're going to interview everybody else. We know what you can do. You're in the running, but we're going to interview everybody else. Absolutely essential that happens. No matter what, we have to run a process this time because we didn't with Ollie, and that was a mistake. Good point from Fine Guy. He says, if you get Thomas Tuchel, he won't sell Mount. Mate, if you get Mason Mount's biggest enemy as manager, he won't sell Mount because nobody's going to bloody buy him. I mentioned this before. Why do people think somebody's going to give us money for Mason Mount? It's never going to happen. They've got a brain. No one's going to give us money for Mason Mount. They can literally look at, it takes 5 seconds to look at his injury record. No one's going to buy Mason Mount. No one. I don't know if things have changed much since 2004, but Louis van Gaal was announced before the World Cup that year and the Dutch got to the semis, says Ian Tracy. Well, there's always a flip side, Ian, and you make a great point, but Spain sacked their manager. It can be very destabilising. It doesn't mean it won't happen, but it might be a reason that it doesn't happen. Goldfridge also says, we announced Van Gaal in May 2014 and he started the job immediately after the World Cup. I don't see why we couldn't do that again, says Goldfridge. Yeah, but you know what, Goldfridge? Was there not... Was Van Gaal's contract with the Dutch not up at that point anyway? Look, just because it worked for the Dutch, the Spanish sacked Lopetegui. So it's not clean cut, is it? Christian, thank you very much for your super chat. And I tell you now, Goldfridge and whoever else you are, if Thomas Tuchel says I'm going to the Man United job before the World Cup, the English press will absolutely destroy him. They will. The real question is, who wants the job, says Damien, and that is the real question. I want to know who wants the Man United job. Because as we know, it's not as simple as Luis Enrique, do you want to manage Man United? Thomas Tuchel, do you want to manage Man United? They probably do. But they probably don't want to work under Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada and be told what to do. And that's going to be the big problem. And that's why I think we'll go for a bitch or a puppet. Because that's a very, very big thing in all of this. This is why I'm saying best in class. How do you recruit best in class when you've got people telling you what to do? They want a puppet. And the puppets are going to be the people like Michael Carrick, De Zerbi, Glasner, Iriola, who... And when I say puppet, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean that they're grateful for the job and they literally will sign the contract being told what to do. Would you take Gordon Freeman as Man United manager, says Brew. If Carrick gets his top four, he will lead us as Tillack. Mike says, morning, Mark. They need to show ambition and get on it now, not later. They need to stop doing things later and actually do things now, says Mike. Well, there's a lot of things they're doing later, isn't they? The January transfer window, we're going to do it in the summer. The manager, we're going to do it in the summer. Are you giving yourself a lot of things to do in the summer? Or actually, are you doing the normal trick of... You don't know what you're doing. You're just kicking it down the road. Like, that's what indecisive people do. They ask for another deadline. You know, it's like when you haven't done your homework and there's a deadline. You say, oh, I'm doing loads of it. I'm running out of time. Can I have another couple of days? And then you don't do it, you know? Why are we not talking about Bruno Guimaraes as a replacement for Casemiro, says Kayan. I mean, I like Bruno Guimaraes. He could be the key to Elliot Anderson, but I'd like us to be involved in it because at 28 years of age, he'll be 29 in November. I think that's probably why Man United aren't looking at him. It's incredible. It's incredible to me because Bruno Guimaraes has got 2 years left on his contract. So he's an interesting player who is ridiculously Premier League proven. And at times people have said Bruno G over Bruno Fernandes, which sounds stupid at the moment, but it has happened. Manchester City like... Bruno G, and they would go for him. So why are we not looking at him? Because if Man City go for Bruno G, they surely can't get Bruno G and Elliot A. Anderson. So he could be the key for us getting Elliot Anderson if Man City go for Bruno G. But if Man City want Elliot Anderson. Why don't we go for Bruno G? Because he's over 26. And that's the thing for me. It's stupid. It's really, really stupid that we're not considering players over 26. It's almost like a parameter that doesn't make sense. Imagine doing that with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. We do have gay people and women watching here who are attracted to men. So let's say that, right? So you're out and about, right? And primarily you want to go out with somebody under 26. Stupid parameter. And you're out and about, you go for a date with somebody who's 29, right? And they're amazing. Brilliant personality. Brilliant. What else? Personality is what it's sort of looks. Okay, looks. Okay. And you then go, they're absolutely perfect, but I don't want anybody over 26. It's stupid, isn't it? And that works really well. Like, you could find your dream girl or boy who are 29 years of age, and you've set this ridiculous parameter that you don't want to go for somebody over 26, and they could be the perfect person for you. And it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Leonardo DiCaprio FC, Gaz, yeah. We're not quite Chelsea, though. That's under 24, isn't it? How come Scaloni never gets mentioned as potential manager? He has experience of playing in the Premier League and knows how to deal with big players, says David. I don't know. I think United also have this parameter of Premier League proven, which I don't actually agree with, but they seem to be locked on Premier League proven for players and on managers. Yeah. And I don't necessarily think it's right. Pep Guardiola hadn't managed in the Premier League, had he? There's plenty of players. Erling Haaland hadn't played in the Premier League. So if you go best in class, you don't need to be Premier League. So they seem to be very locked on Premier League proven. Obviously, we've broken that rule with Le Mans and Sesko and Yoro, but they're all young players. I don't think they mind going for players that are young, but over 26, they won't go for. And managerial, I think they want somebody that's managed in the Premier League. Super Bowl weekend! Super Bowl weekend! Hood, hood, hood! Yeah, Sunday night, we'll be live on That's Football. Just throwing that in there. That would rule Enrique out, says Wild Thing as well. Yeah, exactly. Just a big shout out to you lot this week. This weekend. Yes, I'll shout you out for the weekend. Please do share the video, by the way. Got nearly 7,000 legends watching this morning. I dropped a video this morning. I did one the other day about the attacking stats. I dropped another one this morning about Luke Shaw. So check it out if you haven't done it. It's called Sit Down with Goldbridge, but I title it up as something else. But again, I just want to do these bullet point topics every now and again. Interesting about Luke Shaw, and I was reading some of the comments. I'm going to reply to them later, so if you haven't checked it out, please do. Hi Mark, you previously didn't favour Tuchel because he falls out with the management. Has his cooperation with the FA made you change your opinion? Do you think they should get the players as they will be working with a new manager? I think this is a great question, Ryle, and I do want to move on to some of the other stuff because it is a news show, but I will answer this because you've given a very generous super chat. I didn't want Tuchel when they were going to sack Ten Hag for Tuchel. I didn't want him. And it's not that I've changed my opinion. I just think we're falling further down the barrel. So where Man United are now, we're not where we were when we just won the FA Cup with Ten Hag and finished eighth. We're actually in a worse position. So it's not that I've changed my mind about Tuchel. I just think where the club is now, it's not where it was then. So now I'm going, well, I probably would take Pochettino. I probably would take Tuchel because I think the club is just dropping further and further down to the point where Tuchel actually does become a very attractive proposition. Also, I'd be lying if I didn't say I'd been impressed by what he's done with England. Sometimes, and I think a lot of you'd buy into this, you've got to have an identity and build it. And I think for England, for so long, and we saw it with Scholes and Gerrard and Lampard, let's put them all in the midfield. And I, even at the time, as a young man, I'd go, one of Scholes, Gerrard and Lampard needs to be on the bench. Two of them need to be on the bench. You play Michael Carrick or Nicky Butt in the centre next to Gerrard, Scholes or Lampard, and you have two wide players. You don't put all three of them in because they don't work. And that's what England did for years. Let's just throw all our players into the same team. Harry Kane, for me, in an England shirt, has never been utilised in the way he should be until Tuchel came in, who went, let's do what Bayern do. Let's do what Spurs did. Let's let Harry Kane drop into the midfield, but let's have a number 10 that runs past him. Let's have wingers that are fast and run past him. So, and that works well. So I've been impressed with Tuchel in the way that he's took an England team that's always just thrown everything in the first 11. Let's play Foden, Palmer and Saka, you know, even though they're all very similar. And I think that would be quite interesting at Man United, because I certainly don't think he'd come in and have Cunha on the wing and Bruno in the midfield and stuff like that. I think he'd build a team. So, look, I think he's a good coach. And what I think United need is the best coach they can get, because we haven't got the best board, and then see where we get. Loved how you started the show, Mark. There is tragic aura surrounding United today. We need to use this to get to the win. I expect a good performance, as Rajaf. Thank you very much. Fivel will be pushing for Nagelsmann, says Payo. Nagelsmann's interesting. I mean, I don't think we're at that point yet where we start breaking down which manager we want, but I certainly think we should be talking to everybody. Nagelsmann is interesting. I probably need to freshen my mind on Nagelsmann, but yeah. I was never hammering him out, but feeling being a good manager is first and foremost about getting your players to performance to the best of their abilities. Amrim quite clearly failed at that, says Marlo. I disagree with that. I mean, I don't like going back to the Amrim conversation, Marlo, but actually there's an interesting thing this morning that I found a bit strange. Look, I think there's a very big difference between coming in for 4 months, playing the system the players want, and letting them go home from training at 1 o'clock and making them happy. Because you're only there for a short period of time, and your task is to get in the Champions League. So you're not thinking about next season. You're not thinking about the season after that. You're not thinking about dropping people. You're not thinking about selling people. It's absolutely obvious that if you come in as an interim coach, you've got to make those players like you. Now, Ranić came in as an interim and thought he was building for the future. He thought he was going to be director of football after that. So he was like, this team's shit. I need open heart surgery. They're not running as hard, this, that and the other, and the players didn't respond. Rangnick's interim period was shit because he thought he was there for the long term. Carrick and Solskjaer didn't and don't. So they come in and make the players happy. They play to their strengths. They're going for results today, not tomorrow. With Ruben Amorim, he thought he had 3 years. He thought he was going to be playing a 3-4-3. So it's not the same, is it? Ruben Amorim can't take the job and play a 4-3-3. It's not who he is. He's been brought in to play a 3-4-3, so he's trying to get them to learn something that they just can't do. So I think there is nuance to it. But it's interesting you say that, Marlo, because I was reading this today and I thought, well, are we not playing the game of spin here again? I mean, are we not being contradictory? Are we not doing the same old bollocks again? I wondered how long it was going to come out before the training's better than it was under Amorim, because to be honest with you, one of the big reasons that we're doing well under Carrick is these players are ridiculously fit. They were pressing a lot under Amorim and they were creating a lot of chances under Amorim. So this rewriting, this was the best one. This was from The Athletic. After a few games under Michael Carrick, Casemiro thanked him and said he was feeling like a footballer again. Casemiro places high value on the need to be respected. This would be fine and well if we'd sacked Ten Hag for Carrick. We sacked Ruben Amorim for Carrick. Now, forget me if I'm wrong. Why is Casemiro suddenly better than he was with Amorim? He's not. So why would Casemiro go up to Carrick and say, thank you for making me feel like a footballer again? Is this the Casemiro that got back in the Brazil squad under Amorim? Is this the Casemiro that between August and November of this season was absolutely brilliant? So what's this story even about? Oh, Casemiro under Carrick has gone up and shook his hand and said, thank you for making me feel like a footballer again. He's been playing well since August. He was playing well under Amorim. He was in every Amorim side. And I read this and I sort of like go, this is where the spin starts to get silly. I know what we're doing well and I know what Carrick's doing well. But we don't need to start making lies up about what was happening before. Now, if it was Maynou shaking Carrick's hand and saying, thank you for making me feel a football again, that makes sense. But Casemiro was actually very good under Amorim and had a very good relationship with Amorim. So why would he go up to Carrick and go, oh, thank you for making me feel like a footballer again? Also, and this is the training one as well. Man United feel like they've done well getting Steve Holland to join the club. He told United's squad that he would be fair with all of them, that they expected hard work and anybody who didn't fulfil their side of the bargain would be sent back inside. Players were also given homework clips to study on their phones after one of the early sessions. Sounds exactly like what was happening under Amrim. Did Amrim not do that? Did Amrim not have those interviews? Did Amrim not give those interviews about players need to work hard and if they don't, they won't be in the team? So I'm sort of like, it's starting again, isn't it? Oh, when's it going to come out that the players weren't running very hard? I mean, look, they sacked Amrim because he probably wanted to be sacked. They sacked Amrim because he fell out with Wilcox around transfers and system. But we were already in the top three for shots and goals, etc. And we were very high for intensity and hard work. So, and Casemiro was already a fucking good player as well. So some of this bullshit that's starting to come out, you know, it does need calling out because we know what the positives are. We've won three games in a row. The team's doing really well. Carrick's doing really well. But it's this constant trying to revisit Amrim. Like, it's almost like it's coming from the club. They fucked up. You appointed Amrim and then you sacked him halfway through a season. It's your responsibility. Stop trying to twist it that you did the right thing and that Amrim was a load of shit, because that falls on you ultimately anyway. Ultimately, it does, doesn't it? Also coming out from the Manchester Evening News, we're seeing a lot of this at the moment. Manchester United are hopeful of agreeing a deal with Maynou before the end of the season. Club to open contract talks with him imminently. Well, I put this out on, I can't remember what morning it was, but Romano came out with it very, very quickly afterwards as well. Man United, what I said a couple of days ago, or maybe it was Tuesday, is that in the absence of not having a good transfer window, the board are desperate to spin the fan base into thinking they're doing a good job. Well, you're not doing a good job. You're not doing a good job. You ignored the January transfer window completely. You sacked a manager half, and then spent most of January interviewing interims, including Solskjaer. You've spent £300 million on that manager and sacked him after 12 months. You spent £300 million on Ten Hag and sacked him after 3 months. You sacked your director of football. We finished 15th last year. You're doing a shit job. But what I said to you the other day is true. Maynou's like a new signing. Maynou is the buzzword at the moment. Maynou is the big positivity. They want that contract done ASAP because they see that as a big, look what we've done. We've signed Maynou to a long contract. Now, in my opinion, that's 2 years well overdue. This should have been done before. But they will definitely be spending time on this Maynou contract now because, one, it needs to happen. But two, it's a huge positivity story for Wilcox to put a little interview out and go, look at what we've done with Maynou. I mean, I'd like Wilcox to put an interview out and tell us what he's actually doing as a director of football, but we won't get that. But the Maynou story, look, Maynou signing a new contract is absolutely fantastic, but United are going to milk it like a cow, and that will happen before the end of the season. Jace C says, Mark, what do you think of Angelo Stiller and Bruno G as new signings? They're the ones I want. I don't think there's a cat in hell's chance that we're going to go for Bruno G, by the way. I was only responding to the previous super chat about how it would make a lot of sense to go and do it. And I do agree with that. But I don't think United are going to go anywhere near Bruno Guimarães. One, because I think he'd be very, very expensive. And two, because I think that they are over 26. So I don't think they'll go anywhere near it, to be fair. But look, I'd love it if they did. But I think, look, I suppose we could play that game. What two midfielders do you want Manchester United to sign in the summer? Stiller and Anderson have been my two for a long, long time. That would be great. What do you think about the Kai Rooney story? I think he's come out himself and said it's a load of bollocks. I think there was something about him being offered 50,000 a year, which is what? About 4.5 grand a month to sign a contract at 16. And apparently they were saying that his family are going to think about it. But he's come out and said, not true. I think Rooney wants to succeed at Manchester United. Everything I've seen about him, I think he wants to be a Man United player. And look, I don't do this with the youth. I don't say he's going to be the next superstar or anything like that. But we knew about the name Lacey for a while, and he looks very exciting. And we know about Gabriel. And I think Rooney looks good as well. So you want these players, I mean, it's not going to happen probably for a few years, but you want these players to be part of our future. Obviously, it's very exciting because obviously it's the son of Wayne Rooney as well, which adds a little bit of dramatic effect to it, I suppose. But I think it's just a story blown up by the media. And I think he will sign for Man United. I think he wants to play for Man United. Simple as that. Yeah, the two midfielders I would go for would be Ali Anderson and Stiller. Slazy says, not buying over 26 because reasons is just stupid. I get not paying premium on a player without resale value, but the point is to improve the squad. That, sorry, Slazy, very, very good point. The reason United don't buy players over 26 is because resale value. It's mercenary again. It's brandification again. It's commercialization again. They don't want to buy a 27-year-old for £50 million because there's no resale value. In the sense that if they come into the club and flop, there's no resale value anyway. But if they come into the club and do well, they'd want to keep them for at least 3 years. And when they're 30, 31, there's no resale value. It's stupid. It's the difference between a business and a football club. If I'm running a football club and you can give me a 28-year-old that I'm going to get 4 years out of, I don't care if there's no resale value because I'm like, I've got 4 years of a really experienced player there. But United would rather buy a 22-year-old and hope that they become good and then they stay at the club or they can sell them. It's just not the mentality of Manchester United. I think look at Robin van Persie. Robin van Persie gave us one season, but we won the league. Now, I think it's a shame that we didn't get more than one season out of van Persie, really, because I think we were a little bit unlucky with injury. But these players they're worth their weight in gold, and we're just turning our back on it because of finances again. Jag, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you so much for getting your badge in. You're an absolute legend. And Hypothetical says James Downey Comedy. Thank you, James, and thanks for your super chat. He says, would you rather own Man United or be most popular YouTube channel in history? That's a good question. I mean, it is hypothetical. Obviously, I'm never going to own Man United. I'd own Manchester United. I mean, look, I... Over the years, and it's not happened for a couple of years, I've done this and felt like I don't think I could do it much longer. I'm getting a bit, dare I say, not bored, but, want a break or whatever like that. I don't feel like that now, and I haven't felt like it for a couple of years, but I think it will happen again at some point. Whereas owning Man United, I mean, I'd love a go. I'd love to have a go at it. We all think we would do well doing it, but I'd love to run a football club. I think it would be great. I mean, I've played Championship Manager since I was a kid, so I'd love to have a go at it. And I certainly think I'd do better than these morons. But there's no point owning Man United if you've got to inherit the debt and you've not got any money. It'd be a very difficult job then. Would you want to work with this clueless club, says Laura Banter? I don't even bother. There's some brilliant people who work at Man United, but I just think, like, our job is not to... I would love to think that in the future we could have a really good relationship with Manchester United Football Club, but at the moment there are a number of people who work there who are just... They're just not United. They're not United people. They're Glazer people. And it's not a very nice football club. There's some brilliant people who work there, absolutely brilliant people, who really do care. But unfortunately, a lot of the people in the higher positions who make the decisions are just Glazerites. They're not Man United fans. They might convince themselves that they are, but I don't know how they go to sleep at night pretending they're Man United fans, because they're not. They're Glazerites. And they spend a lot of time thinking of ways to manipulate fans. For a midfield overhaul, rather than buying players that are being kind of marketed quite a lot, I would go for Tonali, Edison and Hackney. I like the idea of Hackney, Rusha. I do like the idea of Hackney. And I'll put my hands in the air and say I've not really seen a lot of him. I don't watch the Championship. But a lot of you do, and he's been a name that's been mentioned for a long time. Tonali,
as long as he's over his gambling issues, that's the only... It's mad, isn't it? With Tonali, the only thing that bothers me is his gambling issues. As a player, I liked him when he was in Italy. And he's proven it at Newcastle. So I think he'd be a very good player. I don't know if things have changed much since 2014. We did that one, didn't we, from Ian Tracy. It was a very good point. Kenny says, the Casemiro we're all singing about now cost us 70 million. Why can't we pay £100 million for Bruno G? Well, I think you make a good point there as well. I mean, there's a lot of people, myself included, saying that Casemiro is irreplaceable. I mean, he's good. He is good, but I would replace him with Declan Rice in a heartbeat. I'd replace him with Caicedo in a heartbeat. I think I'd probably replace him with Tonali as well. I mean, I think Casemiro is good, but I certainly don't want him to stay for another year. My praise of Casemiro is that he's actually had a bit of a renaissance, and we haven't really got anybody else, you know? What do you think about Goretzka summer transfer? I don't like this, L. I don't like the idea of Goretzka at all. I know a lot of you do, and that's fine. But I need to put this back on the shelf, actually, because I don't like looking behind me and it's not there. Yeah, I don't like the idea of Goretzka. It feels like Schweinsteiger and those sort of deals where he's never played in the Premier League before. No, not for me. Not for me, L. What do you think of... And I've done that one as well. And if it's a free, why not, says Theo. Just because something's free doesn't mean it's good. Like, you can get things that are free that are good, but I don't think Goretzka on a free is something that excites me, because I look at it and I go, well, he's never played in the Premier League before. And if it goes wrong, what are you going to do? I'd pass on it for me. I'd pass on it, yeah. It's not for me. Let me just have a quick look at some other stuff as well that I wanted to bring into the show this morning. Don't forget not to miss the show at 1 o'clock. I know the story behind the secret transfer. A lot of people have been calling Ben Jacobs a liar. He wasn't a liar. He just was protecting the source and the information while the window was still open, because it was always a possibility. Now the window is closed, that story can be revealed, and make sure you're watching at 1:30 for that. I just saw something about Tonali, but there's no suggestion that United are in. I think if Arsenal want Tonali, then that would be I just read something there. How can you be all about the Busby Babes and then you don't want Michael Carrick? One, it's actually the anniversary of the Munich tragedy and you shouldn't be having conversations like that. And two, why does that make you bad and not a United fan if you don't want Michael Carrick to get the job because he used to play for the club? I mean, just wow. I haven't said I don't want Mike. Well, I suppose technically I don't want Carrick to get the job at the moment. I suppose that is true. But it's not that I don't think he can get to the point where he does get the job. I'm just scared of it. That's what it is. There we go. What did the two have to do with each other, says Sil? Exactly. Apparently it's betraying. You're not a real Man United fan if you don't want Michael Carrick to be the manager because he used to play for the club and he's got the DNA in his blood. Well, David May used to play for the club. And I wouldn't want him anywhere near Man United. Like, and this, you know, would you want Dwight York as manager? Would Fabian Barthez? I mean, I just because you played for the club, or even I'm trying to think of somebody who actually was decent for the club that I wouldn't want to be Man United manager. Would you want Phil Neville to be Man United manager? Would you want Gary Neville to be Man United manager? Would you want Ryan Giggs to be Man United manager? Would you want Wayne Rooney to be Man United manager? I mean, they're all legends of the club. I don't want them as Man United manager, though. I mean, I want the best in the class. I want the best in class. That's what I want. I would take Luis Enrique over any ex-Man United player in a heartbeat. And he's never played for the club because he's good at his job. I don't want an ex-player as director of football. I want the best director of football in football. It's like running a local restaurant, right? And saying, I want the best chef from the village. You've got a restaurant in a village, right? I want the best chef in the village. And you've got all these Michelin star chefs, right? Who don't live in the village and weren't born in the village. But you go for the guy in the village who's quite good. And he's a local lad. I want the best fucking chef. Get me the best chef. I don't care whether he's from London or New York or wherever. Get me the best fucking chef. I don't care whether he's lived in the village or not. That's what I want. I want the best. But the problem is, even if you bring the best in or the local lad in, you've got a shit board. And that's the thing that will bother us. If he can go the rest of the season without losing, that's the only scenario where I would support Carrick getting the jobs, as Ben. Even for me, I don't think that's enough. I don't. Winning every single game would be incredible and he will get the job. But I'd still be like, well, he's won every game playing one game a week, letting them go home early from training and playing the system they like. So that's not going to work next year. So it's a massive leap into the unknown no matter what. Imagine, I want the best in the business, not Ineos' version of the best. Their version of the best is questionable, says Mike. Thank you very much. Imagine we went for Tchouaméni, says Elsie. And do you think Man City will fall off if Pep ends up leaving, says Angel? Well, I mean, I think this is a great point. If Pep's leaving Man City, which I think he is, let's see who they go for and let's see who we go for. Is that not the test? Who do Man City replace Pep with and who do we replace Amrin with? And let's see what we think about that. Because what I want to see is when we bring our manager in, I go, fuck City, we've got a better manager. But that'll be the acid test. Who Man City replace Pep with and who we replace Amrin with. Because if ours is a project and a prospect and theirs is a dead cert hit, well, that's the difference between the clubs over the last decade. Man City are not likely to give it to Paul Dickoff or Sean Gota, are they? Even Vincent Kompany as an ex-player is just winning things with Bayern Munich and may have won a Champions League by then. So let's see who Man City go for as manager and then let's see who we go for. And really, if we're really serious, people should be looking at our manager and going, that's a good choice. Because the market's there. Can't say there's not many good... last count, I think there's 15 managers. 15 managers we could interview. Seven of them I wouldn't go anywhere near. Seven of them I think are interesting. There we go. Anyway, look, reflective day for Manchester United fans, February the 6th. And I'm sure many of you feel the same. And it's not just the Munich tragedy. It's those people in our lives that made us Man United fans who aren't here anymore as well. Who are no longer with us. So, look, a reflective day. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We are back at 1:30. We've got the Ben Jacobs show that we had to move because Carrick did his interview yesterday for the press conference for Spurs. Apparently, actually, just before I go, just talking about Spurs, don't miss the show at 1:30, of course. This does not bother me at all, but some people it has bothered. Tottenham are unbeaten in their last 8 games against Manchester United in all competitions, winning 5 and drawing 3. It's the Reds' longest ever run without defeat against Spurs. I don't care about stuff like that because every one of those 8 games are in the past. And every one of those 8 games are different scenarios, different teams. I don't give a shit. I don't think United are going to be there bothered about that. And I'm certainly not bothered about that. That makes no difference to me. If we don't win tomorrow, that's just a coincidence. Like, we are massive favourites to win tomorrow. If we're going to Anfield and it's Liverpool, maybe, but not Spurs at home. Not worried about that. Not worried about it at all. Records are there to be broken. And I don't think that's even a record to be worried about. Don't miss the show at 1:30. It's going to be very interesting. I'm going to be in the chat to listen to that. And obviously we've got an 8:00 show for you as well. And if you didn't see the show this morning, check it out. about Luke Shaw and a new deal. Only a short one, but check it out. Give us your comments. And I'll speak to you all in a little bit. Thanks for watching. Take care. Stay safe. 82% of you would rather Enrique over 18% Tuchel. There we go. Thanks for watching.